We want to thank you again for being here. Thankful for the scripture reference that was, or the scripture reading that was made in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 14. And we want to discuss something that should be of great interest to us. And I'm going to introduce it in such a way that we would all understand it. But before we do, I need to inform you of our text. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. If someone asked you if you would rather be inside or outside 2 weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, most folks would quickly have said inside. There was a real reason for that. The temperature outside was below freezing, and the ground was covered with snow and ice, and in fact, we had one to fall in the parking lot. Thankfully, he was not hurt. A young fellow bounced right back up and said, "I'm good." But everybody was glad to be inside with the heat on and the warmth of the building. But in just a few short months, many would likely rather be outside, as some will schedule trips to the beach or some other outdoor activity. In fact, as you look out the windows today, you'll see that it is a beautiful day, a day in which the Lord has made, but he made it and set it aside so that we might gather together inside, or if we were inclined to worship outside, we could do so. But when it comes to being inside or outside relative to the weather, we're often quite lucky because we can go in and out according to our will. We can decide, you know, it's cold out here. Or as I should say, you guys can decide it's cold out here. I normally don't. But it's cold out here. Let's go inside. Or it's hot in here. Let's go outside. Let's participate in this activity or that activity as the weather dictates. However, when it comes to our relationship with God, that kind of flexibility doesn't exist. We cannot choose today to be outside and then tomorrow to be inside and then the next day to be outside and back and forth as we do with the door of a building going in or out. We need to be aware that we are either in Christ or we're out of Christ. Our text, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." In Christ or outside of the body of Christ, there is no in-between. Again, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. There are those that are outside of the body of Christ. You know, some think this not to be the case. When they think about religion, I hear people talk about Christendom, and they think, you know, all those who are Christians, well, the number is a lot smaller than they think because they include everyone who is involved in religion, unless they are Jewish or maybe Islamic or something like that. They consider them to be Christians. But what does the Bible say about those who are outside? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, speaking to those that are members of the body of Christ, those who are in Christ, relative to those that are out, how we are to conduct ourselves before them so that they too might be fully aware of who we are and where we are. I say that because the passage reads, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, and I remember it because it is so true, that one of the greatest compliments that someone can say to a member of the body of Christ is, "There is something about you. There is something that shows up in your life, in your actions, in your words, that shows that you're different." Well, the reason is because they're outside and you're inside. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, we see the same thing. Another admonition to another body regarding this same thing, those that are without. We are not only to walk in wisdom toward them, according to Colossians 4, 5, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told that we may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. To walk honestly toward those that are without is to show them the way in. But it is a fact, according to the Bible, that there are those that are without. You need more proof? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, reading through verse 13. This question relative to judging has come up, as it often does. It comes up in our lives today. I've heard people say, you know, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. What are you doing that you're afraid of being judged for? The 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 says, for what have I to do to judge them that are also without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from yourselves that wicked person. And oftentimes when we're looking at judgment and judging and that sort of thing, people want to condemn us for that. Say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Well, be a fruit inspector. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And the Bible's clear on that. But there are those also that are in Christ. And the Bible draws a direct or distinction between the two so that we might know. We have seen three or four verses that show us that there are those that are without. But then what is it that the Bible teaches us relative to those that are within? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we have a passage written to this young preacher, given to the Apostle Paul by the Spirit to direct this young preacher so that he might also direct others. We see then, Paul says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And oftentimes people say, you know, the Bible teaches us how we're to conduct ourselves in the church. And at the same time, they're telling their children, don't run in the church. Paul's not talking about the building here. He's talking about the assembly. When the people are gathered together, when the church is gathered together, how that we might know, according to the Word of God, that we are to behave ourselves in the house of God, not the building, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We know that there are those that are in Christ and there are those that are not in Christ, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We know that the vengeance of God is going to be upon certain ones when the judgment occurs. And when that judgment occurs, those who are faithful, those who are in Christ, those who are solidly involved in doing the things that God has put forth to us in His Word and in accordance to that Word will be blessed. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing as the Spirit, gave him direction, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A definite distinction between those that are in Christ and those that are outside of Christ. You know, it's a very sad, sad situation that there are those that at one time were in Christ and have allowed themselves to draw back into perdition. Those to go back into the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 through 39 speaks of these people and draws a comparison between those who draw back into perdition and them that believe to the saving of the soul, knowing that the distinction has been made between those that are within and those that are without. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Those who draw back into perdition, those who go back into the world, as we're told in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It's because they were in Christ. They knew of the heavenly goal. They knew of the prize that is offered. They knew of the wonderful place that has been prepared for those that love God. And they've turned their back on God. They've gone back out. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15 speaks relative to those who are in Christ. Now this is those, these are those who are in Christ and continue in Christ and remain in Christ and faithfully serve Him. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. He's prepared for us a place. Those who are in Christ. Those who remain in Christ. Those who remain faithful to Christ. He's prepared a place. Outside of that is all that offends. Now the question is, are you in the kingdom of God or under the power of darkness? You can't have it both ways. You can't be in and out at the same time. You're either in or you're out. If indeed I were to come into this building and I walk through the door, once I pass through the door, I am in. Once I turn around and go back out of that door, I am out. Some might very well say, well, you can be in and out at the same time, and I guess relative to that, I could be standing across the threshold with one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. But when it comes to our service to God, you cannot do this. It doesn't work. Jesus Christ Himself said, no man can serve two masters. We need to understand that we're either in or we're out. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 give us indication of this. It also indicates that when we are in, we have had redemption of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. He asks the question, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Or he gives a statement, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, out of Christ into Christ. This occurs when one obeys the gospel, has become a child of God, and at that point their relationship with God has completely changed. They are no longer alien. They are no longer a person headed for destruction. They have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So those who are in are those who have had forgiveness from sins. And one is either inside or outside. Again, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. We see that Jesus Christ was very crystal clear upon this particular point. He told them there, and it means the same today as it did then, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be inside and outside at the same time. We have to make a choice. We see that all have been called to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us this. Those who had already been called to God, those who had already been directed and instructed and had decided and had been obedient and were in the kingdom, they were told that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And some might say, well, you know what? I've not been called yet. I've gone my whole life waiting for the still small voice. I've gone my whole life waiting for some sort of sign to tell me. Stop looking. The call has already been made. Look down a few verses in verse 14. We'll see that all have been called because 2 Thessalonians 2:14 tells us and tells us clearly, so that we must have help to misunderstand it, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some need to ask the question, when did the Lord Jesus Christ receive his glory? When he ascended back to the Father. And what are we called to do? Those that are in the body of Christ realize and understand that that gospel has called us. The gospel is that which instructs us and directs us to be obedient according to the words of that gospel, and tells us what to do in order to be saved, to go outside of the kingdom into the kingdom, being translated by the Lord into that kingdom, being added to the church by God, Acts 2:47, knowing that without that obedience we cannot be translated, nor can we be added to the kingdom. And he has called us through his word. We know this calling was first stated in John chapter 3 and verse 5. As we've been studying in our Sunday morning Bible class, we know the incredulous reaction of Nicodemus when Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We need to realize and understand that those who were added to the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 are the very ones who were translated from being out of Christ into Christ or into the kingdom. They were the very ones that were added to the church, and they did so when they contacted the blood and were born of water and the Spirit in baptism. All who have not are outside. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41, we're going to see that there's going to come a time in which all that is in the kingdom that offends, God will take out. What does that say? That there are those, possibly, who are in the kingdom who are acting as though they are outside of the kingdom? We need to examine ourselves. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I in the kingdom of God? Or am I under the power of darkness? Am I in or am I out? Can't be in and out. Can't run in and out. Am I in? Or am I not in? If I'm not in, I'm out. If I'm not out, I'm in. Matthew 13:41 says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Those who continue to involve themselves in iniquity or sin, those are the ones that offend. Those are the ones who are not faithfully serving him while in the kingdom. And it doesn't have to be a list of bad sins as we sometimes categorize them. Any sin is that which separates us from God. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And if we transgress God's law, we've sinned. And if we've sinned, we've separated ourselves from God. And we must continue to access the blood of Christ, those who are Christians, through prayer after we repent, that we might remain in, lest we be taken out of the kingdom because we offend. But we need to understand that this happens according to the plan of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 23 through 24, we see words written to the Corinthian brethren so they might understand that these things must be done in order. Notice, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's." And it tells us when this will happen: at his coming. We see that when Jesus Christ comes, then those who are his, those who are inside, are going to be able to enjoy those blessings. Verse 24 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power." We need to understand Jesus Christ is still reigning today. We know that because the trumpet has not sounded. He's not come back yet. And when he comes, all that is offensive in the kingdom, it will be taken out. And only those who are truly in will go to be with God forever. Therefore, it brings up a question. Are you in Christ and abiding in Christ? And so, yeah. Know this. Once in Christ does not mean that one will always remain that way. One has to continue to abide in Christ. One has to continue to abide in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we have spiritual blessings, but those spiritual blessings are in Christ. In order for us to receive the spiritual blessings, we have to be in Christ. We have to continue in Christ. We have to be abiding in Christ. Blessed be the Father, or the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We see other passages, such as Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, that speak of being in Christ. Know and understand, one is in the church, they are in Christ. One is in the kingdom, they are in Christ. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. The fullness of the plan in which all of humanity would have the opportunity to decide, am I going to be in Christ or am I going to be outside of Christ? Am I going to be in the kingdom? Am I going to be outside of the kingdom? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 kind of explains this. It explains Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, the dispensation of the fullness of times. It says specifically to us there that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Previous to this, the Gentiles were one group of people. That's all people who were not Jews. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. But it was the plan of God that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. And furthermore, we see at the conclusion of that verse, and partakers of his promise in Christ, notice this, by the gospel. It is because of the gospel or through the gospel that we know what we are to do in order to become in Christ, in order that we might continue to abide in Christ. This is the completion of the plan that we see in Romans 8. And verse 28. This is a passage that's almost abused as much as John 3:16. If you're not familiar with it, perhaps you haven't abused it, and I hope you haven't. But we see that the words of that particular verse, Romans 8:28, says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In other words, everything that happens is good because that's the way God wanted it to happen. Picture yourself being the recipient of a call. You sent your child down to McDonald's. Child, say, just recently got his license. You trust the child with a car. You send him down to McDonald's and some nutcase is in there with an AK-47. And he sprays the place and in so doing kills your child. And someone comes up to you and comforts you and says, you know, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. That is no way, shape, or form what this verse is talking about. It is talking about the entirety of the plan of God to them who are called. Remember how we are called? We're called through the gospel. The gospel plan, which makes us know that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise by Christ, in Christ, according to the plan that God put forth before the foundation of the world, and all are now called by the gospel. We know this because Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 27 tells us this, that what happens to those who are called by the gospel, they can be in the kingdom, they are in Christ, they are abiding in Christ. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. It's not just because of faith. That verse does not stand on its own. We go on and read the next verse. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, are you in Christ and abiding in Christ? If you've not become in Christ, you cannot abide in Christ. Therefore, if you're not in, you're out. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 tells us. This, of course, is written to children, children of God, joint heirs with Christ, fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, where He writes, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Are you looking forward to Christ coming? You say, "Oh, what a terrible day that's going to be." Listen, if He would come right now, would you be ready? That's how fast. It's faster than whatever snapping fingers. I don't know how fast that is. But we should not be ashamed at His coming. But how do we know Him? And how do we know that we know Him? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. We'll see that the distinction can clearly be made. It's something that can be quantified. It's something that can be measured. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Plain and simple. And so that there's no misunderstanding, look at verse 4. "He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him." Let me ask you a question. Are you doing the commandments of the Lord? Well, kind of, sort of. Listen, if you're kind of, sort of, you're kind of, sort of out. If we love Him, we're going to do His commandments. And if we know Him, we keep His commandments. And we're also told that His commandments are not grievous. But in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, we'll see how it is that we can abide in Christ, how we continue to abide in Christ. "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning." Oh, that's which I've heard from the beginning? No, that which was preached according to the Word of God from the beginning, because many people today hear things that are contrary to what the law of God says. They receive a different calling than the Bible gives. And if they follow a different calling, they can't end up at the same place. "If that ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And the end result of this is stated in verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. And all of us have it in promise if we are inside, if we are in Christ, if we remain in Him, if we abide in Him. In James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, we see a passage which is proper for the close of this sermon. We see James is writing, as all Scripture is inspired, he was given this by the Spirit. He said, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." And it goes on to say, "And how shall hide a multitude of sins." But the question then is, are you inside or outside? We want people to be converted. We want people to be saved. We want people to be in Christ. But there's only one way to do that. And once that is accomplished, then there's only one way to remain in Him, continuing to be faithful to Him, serving Him, faithfully doing His will, and following His commandments, and holding to it. And that's when the promise of eternal life can become a reality. But know this and know it well, if you're on the outside and you're thinking that God, being a merciful God, is not going to send me to hell, I'll agree with you 100%. God will not send you to hell. Oh, the sentence is going to be given at the judgment. And all who are outside are going to hell. But guess who made that choice? It wasn't God. We know that God is not willing that all, that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So then who is it that makes the choice? Again, I ask the question, are you inside or are you outside? It's your choice. And nobody can force it on you. But we love you. We want you to be inside also. What's the person do in order to be inside? They must be obedient. It's not just enough to believe. It's not just enough to say we believe. We must be obedient. What is it that we are to believe, to be obedient unto? Unto the Word of God relative to salvation. Here's the plan and a few passages that go along with the plan. One is to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When one hears this Word, it calls them to really believe. Believe to the point that they will obey. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Those who die in their sins are outside. We must also repent. Again, Jesus in Luke 13:3-5 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Those who perish on the outside. Those who die physically on the outside will remain outside of Christ for eternity. We must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. We know that this confession is to be made with the mouth. We're not confessing our sins. The Bible clearly tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No need to confess something that everybody already knows. But we are to confess Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, you're still not there. You're still not in. You're still outside. Open the door and come in. On that day of Pentecost, AD 33, the apostles used the keys that Jesus had given them, and they opened the door. And when they opened the door to salvation, they did so by telling the people what to do to be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what that gift of the Holy Ghost is? The promise of eternal life. Guess what? If you're outside, you don't have the promise. Now, having done these things and you're now inside, the world is going to be painted to be a beautiful place. And much of the world is beautiful, but much of what goes on in the world is not. Because it is designed to bring you to destruction. Therefore, we must continue to abide in Him. We must live faithfully until death. 2 Peter 2:20-21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And here's how bad it is. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And nobody wants that. Once in, we want everybody to stay in. We want everybody to continue to be in Christ, faithfully serving Him. And if indeed that is your situation this day, you can return to Him through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Simon had become a child of God. He had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. He had been baptized into Christ. And he sinned. He was told there in Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Our hymn of invitation is 695. And it's entitled Too Late. Listen, there will come a time in your existence when it will be too late to change your status from outside inside. Don't let this day be that day. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation.